afternoon. I'd like to call to order the tech meeting. It is Thursday, March 19th, and we will begin the call to order, termination of a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you, Chairman. Moving on to minutes of February 5th, 2026. Motion is required. And if you could please identify yourselves clearly on a motions and a second. Also, we don't have Mr. Wheatley or Mr. Bowling here, so our usual.
We'll get to step up to the plate.
So moved, Justowski, Streetsboro.
I'll second, Shreve, Barberton.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to staff reports. Financial progress report, Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you look at attachment 3A, we're about at 49% of our budget through February. We're in good fiscal shape. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Seeing no questions, a motion is required.
Motion moved and approved.
Second, Tavarti.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Item B, technical progress report. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you. Just two very quick items today. Connecting Communities planning grant applications are due tomorrow at 4:30. If you have any last-minute questions, see Heather after the meeting. Our task force is going to meet in mid-April to go over and score those applications. We'll be bringing those before our committees in May to make final decisions on which of those two planning grants will move forward. The other thing I was going to say is just we're kind of getting to that point where we're starting to plan our bicycle advocacy type planning for the year. We typically do one or two bike and brainstorms each year, so if any communities have an interest in doing anything like that or a bicycle fun day or anything like that, please let us know. We'd love to help out. But that's all I have. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Moving on to item C, AMAD's federal funds report. Mrs. Prater.
Thank you. So we're pretty much almost to the end of the third quarter now, and I feel pretty confident that all the projects that are in fiscal 26 are definitely going to sell. Based on our project review meeting yesterday. However, that does mean that for STBG, we are going to need a loan of about $3.1, $3.2 million. I'm probably going to be requesting that loan soon so that all of the projects in this fiscal year will be able to sell and encumber on time. Carbon reduction program, we're doing well. We just have one project this year, and we will not need a loan. CMAC funds, we've already received a loan for approximately $5 million from WARPSE, which will automatically get paid back next year, which we'll probably also need a loan next year because we keep taking out loans. So, and TASA, we're doing fine. All the projects should be able to sell on time, and we do not require a loan. If anyone has any questions, please let me know.
Any questions for the presenter? Seeing none, thank you. We do not have any old business this afternoon. Moving on to new business, traffic crash and safety performance measures. Mr. Stewart.
Okay, thank you again. Okay, so for anyone who's new here, each year AMETS prepares a crash report taking the three most recent years of data, so our latest crash report includes years 2022 through 2024. Each year we try to kind of fine-tune it, make a few changes to keep it relevant and current. So these are some of the changes that we've made this year. Real quick, just wanted to give you some of our trend updates. Total crashes, we're seeing that continued downward trend. They stayed basically the same as last year, but did go down just a little bit. Our property damage only crashes and minor injury crashes stayed about the same but did go down a little bit. Serious injury crashes was our one metric that increased this year. That's a trend that's kind of been going up the last few years. But our fatal crashes did go down significantly. So we're kind of back down to where our region was back in 2018, 2019. Nationally, in the state, and regionally, we all saw that big increase around 2020. And unfortunately, those numbers kind of stubbornly stayed high. But we're fortunately seeing that number start to decrease significantly. This time around, we started, we kind of went into a little more detail on what we reported in our crash report. It's not quite the level of detail that we did in our Safe Streets for All action plan, but we did start to look at some other things like crash type, you can see here, our four big categories. We looked at bicycle-related crashes. Those were down significantly this year. And our pedestrian-related crashes were down 20%. Chapter 3 of our report is where we start looking at crash locations. And, you know, this is what really takes all the time in preparing our crash report. There's a big, you know, manual, labor-intensive process in checking all the crash records over the three-year period. It's over 46,000 crash records. But those are eventually sorted into section and intersection crashes. And so you can see the criteria here for developing high crash roadway sections and intersections. So what we do once we've put those into section or intersection crashes, so we develop a composite score of those two things, and the locations with the lowest composite score are highest ranked locations. So we map all of, you know, our top 50 locations, and here's our top 10 list of those sections that were highest this year. So there were 128 total. Our top two were both in Portage County. Our high crash intersections throughout the area, 217 of those. And I should say that, you know, most of these are projects that our communities are already working on. Some of these locations are projects that are locations that communities are actually have projects that they've done or are planning. We looked at bicycle-related crashes, sorted by level of severity, and our pedestrian-related crashes. And then wrapping up Chapter 4 is just kind of our additional resources chapter. It's basically, you know, we've given you the trends and the locations, and this is just a lot of those additional information that you might want to refer to throughout the year. So that's it in a nutshell. So mostly good news. But of course, we do still have about 400 FSI or fatal serious injury crashes. So there's always work to be done. But with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Seeing no questions, this does require a motion.
First, move to approve.
Second, Collins.
Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Resolution 2026-06. This is Prater.
December or February, and they fall into the current TIP, so they needed to be added with an amendment. So that's it. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
So how do we get the details of these projects? I mean, we had a discussion last meeting about bike trails not necessarily contributing to traffic. This is an exorbitant amount of money.
This was what was came out of the running policy guidelines, and it went through the TIP process and TAP and policy, and these were the projects that were approved. These were the projects that were approved.
But $2.3 million is quite a miss.
What would you like to know about? Like, what? I mean, because we had all these projects in the last meeting packet.
But if we have a cap in the STBG, this is almost doubling the cap of a $6 million project, correct?
Wait, which one are we talking about?
The cap is $6 million STBG.
Correct.
Per project.
Right. What am I missing then? You're asking for another $2.3 to fund the project?
They don't have any STBG money in that project yet.
Okay.
It's not additional. It's revising it to add STBG funding for construction. All that they had previously was preliminary engineering funding in the project.
So basically, we're adding these projects to the current CIP, projects that were already approved.
Yes. It's just that the first project, the only reason that we're revising the funding is because it already had a project identification number with ODOT, because it was already pitted when it received federal funds for engineering phase. So this is just adding money to the construction phase of the project. So otherwise, it would just be an added project. If it was completely new and it didn't already have a project identification number, it would just be an added project, just like all the other four.
And so most of the projects that we approved last month will end up going on the next TIP that we'll approve next spring.
Next spring.
But some of these are able to be put on to our current TIP. And so it's just a timing thing, basically.
Yeah.
So it's not like additional new money.
And there's also a handful of projects I sent out to everyone that received funding back in December or February and asked to have those projects scoped to ODOT, and so they can get project identification number. Once they have a PID number, then if they fall within the current TIP, then we have to amend the TIP to include them for fiscal constraint. If they fall outside of the current TIP, when we develop the next TIP, or the following one, whichever one they fall into, those will be added as we develop following TIPs. So like those projects that fall into 2030 and 2031 will be included in the next TIP, which we're going to start developing in the fall. So, any other questions?
Thank you. Seeing none, this does require a motion.
So moved. Shreve, Barberton.
Second, Collins.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution carries. Moving on to resolution 2026-07. Mr. Mullen.
Attachment 6B in your packets is resolution 2026-07 to add bus station maintenance project to PARTA. This resolution seeks to add federal formula capital funds to the TIP from PARTA for one project for fiscal year 2026. PARTA requests the addition of $240,000 in federal funds to replace a fire suppression sprinkler system. The project is located in the downtown Kent Central Gateway, part of the transit hub and multi-family facility. The project proposes consistent with the area's regional transportation plan. The staff is requesting approval for resolution 2026-07. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you. No questions. Can I get a motion?
So moved, Kovacher.
Second, Jonke.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution carries. Resolution 2026-08. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you. So this is a little bit of a mundane resolution, but it does have some kind of different types of language. So ODOT Central Office approached us. I think they were having some issues in southern Ohio where when a project takes place where they're widening lanes, let's say, and adding to the air quality in the region, every MPO has to concur with that air quality analysis. And what's happened in the past is that, let's say, NOAACA in Cleveland is doing, they're widening the I-480 bridge. AMATS is required to do a resolution, go through our committee process and approve basically the methodology for that air quality analysis. And then we bring it to you guys and ask you to approve it. So ODOT was interested in us in a way to streamline it would be to say, hey, if the policy committee, trusts the staff, they could just say, when an air quality project outside of the region is happening and we have to concur with it, that the AMATS staff has the ability to just concur with that air quality analysis. Therefore, not going through the process of basically going through a resolutionary process with this group. Now, the positives about that from our side is that if NOAACA does it, NOAACA meets four times a year, so if we had a project that required air quality analysis and we needed to get it on our TIP quickly, we'd be waiting for NOAACA to go through this whole process for them to concur with one of our projects. And so therefore, the thought is that this will kind of streamline everything. Now, clearly, if there was a project that we thought was suspect or going to severely damage our air quality, we would bring it to you guys. But I think the thought is that for projects that, and I'm trying to think of what the current, oh, well, the Cleveland Brown Stadium is the one that's coming up. There's going to be stuff done. And so this resolution would say if AMAT staff sees the analysis and we say, yes, that analysis is, is correct, then we could just write a letter and saying, yes, NOAACA, we authorize it. The way we would, if we don't approve this resolution is we would just bring you a resolution specific to the project with all the air quality methodology and ask you to approve it. Kind of after talking to ODOT, we decided to put this resolution together and ask our boards if they'd be interested in approving it. And I'll be honest, I don't have strong feelings about it either way. It happens very rarely in our region because we're not widening a lot of roads. But I do understand their concern, I think, is that, when MPOs only meet four or five times a year, it can kind of slow down the process for projects that need to move quickly.
Oh, sorry. So it's a timing and formality thing more than anything else?
Yeah, and when we bring the air quality to you guys anyway, we're not asking you to approve the project. We're asking you to approve that the air quality methodology was done correctly. And so that's where it's like, do we really need the board, to look through the air quality and say,
right.
Yes, because theoretically, I don't think we could stop Jimmy Haslam from building, the dome in Berea. Like, even if we voted against the air quality analysis, it's going to happen. So I think that was the thought process. It's like, this is pretty formulaic, and the staff has the ability. And like I said, if they were going to do something right on our border or something that we knew our members were opposed to, we would definitely.
So you still retain the right to bring it to larger group if you so choose.
I think it would be foolish of me to just be like, oh, no, guys, you don't want this, but I'll say yes. It's definitely meant to be for the ones that it's like the air quality analysis is just, hey, we don't have to write a resolution when this happens once every 3 to 4 years, which is typically how often it happens. I think our last one was actually 2018 was the last time we brought a memo to do a resolution.
And so it has to pass unanimously through all the MPOs. Has there ever been a situation where one of the MPOs has said no?
No.
Okay.
That I'm aware of.
Got it. Just curious.
But I think that's part of the thing that maybe is in the offing is that there's a concern that, no one really knows what would happen if
the Bengals fans say we don't want this.
well, theoretically, like let's think about the Richfield Coliseum. Let's say everybody wanted the Richfield Coliseum to stay, but it got, you know, kind of taken from Richfield and put in Cleveland. Could we then say when they're trying to do the roadway projects up there?
We don't agree with the methodology.
Yeah, we don't think the methodology is good, and we're not going to concur with this air quality. You know, but no one knows like where that would go. Right. You know, other than us probably being forced to improve it. You know, but so that's kind of where like we don't do this enough to really be that important. But I could see a situation where NOAACA could slow one of our projects down because their boards just meet more infrequently. And they have to go through an air quality subcommittee and then a TAC committee and then a full policy committee. So I think that's where central office was looking at this resolution from.
I had one other sort of unrelated. I saw in here Ashtabula County is not part of an MPO.
Aren't they part of Eastgate?
Only for certain things, not transportation.
Got it.
I think they're part of the COG, but they're not part of the MPO.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris, I was having trouble scenarioizing when this would come in. Mm-hmm. And so because SCATS or Stark County is not in the Cleveland air quality shed.
Right.
That's because it's more of a situation where there could be an air quality concern from the north or to the south affecting SCATs or affecting MS in that way. The other thing. Now you say that you would use common sense, but I just wonder if that needs to be tactfully stated in the resolution that you reserve the right to bring complicated or whatever matters to the committee on your discretion. The other thing I would say about NOAACA is NOAACA could be requested to delegate to one of their other standing committees the authority to make the decision.
And again, I don't really have strong feelings about this. I'd say like obviously strong enough that it was like okay, let's bring it to have the discussion, but. I think it's really just how we feel, and again, it's like I won't always be the director, so you know, and whoever is there, you know, like, do you need something a little more codified? And you know, that I think that's a fair question to ask.
Joe, sort of touched on what I was going to ask. Do other directors from surrounding MPOs have the same authority, or are they looking to delegate?
So it's funny because every MPO is set up a little differently. So, like the resolution that we modeled it after was actually the person that they had designated was called their director of transportation, because they're a council of governments, and so the MPO is run by the director of transportation. I really just wanted to put staff in there, but I had a feeling that ODOT seemed to really want us to have a specific, you know, like a position, basically, that was required. And so that way I figured, like, I can delegate it to someone, but it probably should be my name versus, say, transportation planning administrator or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do like this delegation, but I'm curious if those reports will be posted somewhere in case we did want to look at them.
And that's the other thing too, is I guess going back to Joe's, you know, we could write something where, you know, we can bring it as a like a technical memorandum and just, you know, like, as you know, staff will still be required to report on any requests for concurrence or something like that, that before, you know, I mean, I think the one problem is if we get into that, we say before the language, well, then we're back to the spot where really we're just approving the resolution. And if this isn't fully baked, we don't have to approve it.
Chris, I think the problem, or the area you may get into more of a problem with, is when you actually would deny.
Right.
And I think at that point you may want concurrence or backup from the board.
Right.
If you're just going to, if you review it and acceptable and approvable, you know, move it along, but if you're going to deny it, I think you may want support backup behind that in some way. I don't know, MoDOT.
Any further discussion? All right, this does require a motion.
I'll make a motion to Sheriff Whitman.
Second, Collins.
Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution carries.
You guys have no idea what you've just
All right, moving on to item seven, and don't see any other business.
Yeah, so the only thing I'd like to announce with other business is we do have a tech tip meeting right immediately following this. We'll probably take a 5-minute break. I know a lot of people like to hang out and get coffee, but if you see us starting to usher you out, if you're not going to be at that meeting, I mean, you're welcome to stay, but we're probably going to try to get underway so we can get everybody out of here before 6 p.m. Watch this.
There's a signing sheet and papers.
Yeah, we'll tell them. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next meeting, Thursday, May 7th. Same time, same place. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion a second. Motion a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. We are adjourned.